gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Friday, 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Christian Weller from RoboCop and also an economist with the Center for American Progress. Next hour.
He's the official economist of the Stephanie Miller newscast.
We have a Jersey girl, a 9/11 widow. He's going to talk to us about the closing of Gitmo and Fridays with Fuglesang in hour number three. John Fuglesang from the New York Bureau of Stephanie Miller International and Sons. And
we're
going to
find out. We're going to find out what Lori Van Auken thinks about moving the terror trials to New York City.
Yes.
And I think she has an opinion on that.
This hour of the Stephanie Miller Show brought to you by Saturn. The sale from Saturn is here. The best deals ever on a Saturn with $4,000 total cash back on every new vehicle. Or qualified buyers can choose 0% financing on all models. Length of contract limited. Take delivery by November 30th. Hurry to your Saturn retailer today.
$4,000 back? That's a big chunk of change.
Yes, it is indeed, especially in this economy.
Absolutely.
Don't I know it? I'll bitch about my own personal problems in a moment. StephanieMiller.com is the website. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LeMoy, voice deity Jim Ward, or associate producer Rebecca Baker-Taylor, who is newly hyphenated, I understand. Good morning, Rebecca.
No, she took her husband's name.
No, I'm not hyphenated.
She's not hyphenated.
At all.
Oh, well, this hate letter I'm going to read to you is that completely incorrect then.
Okay, I'm ready. Bring it.
Anthony in Seattle writes, Dear Steph, are you going to kick that power-hungry wench Rebecca Baker-Taylor to the curb when you move to New York? She's hyphenated her name now, and that's a sign of an uppity woman.
Oh, snap.
Well, Anthony, you are
confused, says no.
Wrong. She did not hyphenate. She, like a good 50s housewife, has taken his name entirely.
Absolutely. I have taken his name entirely because I believe he should own property. And that's me.
Isn't that magical? Isn't that a magical new age woman? Oh. So you are officially Rebecca Taylor now.
Yes, absolutely.
How might one email you at StephanieMiller.com?
Just Rebecca.
Yeah. There's no last name. Rebecca at StephanieMiller.com.
Okay. Well, anyway, in answer to the first part of the question, Anthony, no.
Computer says no.
I am not going to kick Rebecca to the curb when I go to New York because she runs this whole enterprise. Rebecca is the glue that holds this rickety ship together.
That's
she's not
right.
only the best associate producer in the business, a phone screener, a booker. What the hell do you do, Chris? Anyway, I've never really figured that out.
I sit on my couch and eat bonbons all day.
That's what I thought.
He hangs out with jazz.
Rebecca, in fact, forwarded me an email yesterday. This is the sort of thing she has to put up with, not just on the phones, but through email.
Yes. You get a lot of weird emails.
Really?
And they send them to me. I'm like, why email me? Her email is right there.
Oh, now, I get them, too. I just delete them.
You've screened for a lot of big radio shows. I have the weirdest listeners, don't I?
You do.
Yeah.
By far.
Yeah.
Like, I've screened for, like, 25 different talk shows.
Yes.
Your listeners are wonderful
special
people. Special would be a great word to describe them.
Mm-hmm. I'm a weird magnet. I am.
I've heard some stuff that I can't repeat to anybody.
Really?
Yeah.
You wouldn't repeat it.
No, like nasty stuff.
You know, the funniest thing is like when I go out to the bathroom and I walk by the phone screening cubicle, and some of the stuff Rebecca says is way more hilarious than anything we say on the air.
Yeah.
She's like the patience that I say, and so the flying spaghetti monster is related to healthcare. Why? Okay, yeah, when Stephanie says hi, don't say, how are you, don't say, ask her how
get
she
right
is.
Get right to it.
Just get right to your point, thank you.
I feel sometimes like a Disneyland greeter, like, oh, thank you, come again, click.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
All right, I'll pass that along, click.
I try to be so nice to everybody. I've never sworn at anybody, but it's hard.
I know.
It really is hard.
He's
out there
letting people behind the curtain.
Should I
when
not
Rebecca
say that?
Says I'll pass that on, that means.
All right. Take care now. Bye-bye, then.
Loser.
Okay, Rebecca is a liar. She never passes it on.
You're a liar.
Oh, that's... Every phone screener says that. When I was a phone screener,
You know what? We don't have time right now, but I'll pass that on, Stephanie.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. She's lying when she says that.
You're totally right. I've never passed anything on.
No.
Nothing.
No. I don't have time for that.
Yeah.
In fact, I don't even talk to you guys.
No. This is the longest we've ever actually spoken.
But,
although, you know, here's the thing you asked me, Chris, at the New York Bureau of Stephanie Miller International, where I'll be doing the show, you know, mostly.
Right.
Who's going to get me highlighters?
Rebecca gets you highlighters and paper. What?
Stop about the stealing of the Clear Channel supplies. I've gotten away with this for this long.
Nobody from Clear Channel is up this early.
Oh, nobody's listening. Don't.
Exactly. But so I have a question for you.
Yes.
You brought cookies in today.
I did.
Did you bake these?
Yeah. Well, I'm not a 50s housewife like you did. Like you are, but
I just wanted to know if it was safe to eat
them. No, a friend brought them over. People are, you know, because they know I'm having a nervous breakdown because I'm moving, so people are, you know, doing nice things.
Did boy band bring them? Did he bake them and bring them over?
Celebrity boy band next door made me cookies. He can't wait for me to get the hell out of here. All right. I was going to ask you, what are the other polite lies you say when you hang up on people?
I say that's a really great comment. That's a good one.
That's good. Wow, that is good. Now,
I'm not so sure we should be giving away phone screening secrets.
Yeah.
So
now,
I'm afraid to pick up the phone now when I go out there.
Because we're in, obviously, a soundproof room here. Now, when you tell people, because you tell everybody, don't ask Stephanie how she is, get right to your point. So when virtually every person asks me how I am, do you scream out there? Do you just...
Not only do I scream, I look up their phone number, find their address, and go to where they live.
Wow.
And I say, next time you call Miss Miller, you do not say how you do it.
She calls them back. What did I say? What did I say?
Because we do have a log of people's phone numbers.
Yeah, but I don't follow anyone home, I swear.
Okay, can I have my conspiracy sausage music? This is the kind of thing Rebecca deals with. Now, is Cheryl, as in Shirley, she's Cheryl because it seems like she's... Shorthand, like she knows you.
Right. We're friends or something.
Is she a frequent emailer?
I don't think so. This is the first time I've heard from Cheryl.
Because, you know, she's Shirley in her subject line, but she signs it Cheryl. Like you and she are friends.
Yeah, like we're hep together.
Because it sounds like you've listened to some of her theories before. Anyway, she sent this to you, assuming that you would send it to me.
Right, which
okay.
I did.
Mm-hmm. I greatly enjoy listening to you on my way to work each morning. Things to ponder. And she just sent a couple of things for us to ponder.
Okay.
The snuggle craze. Those long blanket-like
Snuggie.
Robes. Yeah, that's what I think she meant. They're on the late-night infomercials. Right,
right.
Yeah,
the big blanket
the blankets with sleeves.
Things.
I love that. Are these... Cheryl appears to be fairly serious here. Are these being sold by Muslims to get the American public used to covering their bodies in long robes so it will be easier to make the public conform to those standards if they take over the U.S.? Does President Obama own one? After the tragedy at Fort Hood, should all Muslims or Muslims-like people? Oh, Muslims-like people. Not necessarily Muslims, but Muslims-like peoples.
Oh, no.
Be put in internment camps as the Japanese were. Cheryl.
I know.
Just things to ponder.
So... freaking ridiculous. This is the crap I get emailed.
President Obama, you don't know, may have started the Snuggie craze in his Somalian kindergarten or whatever. As part of his plot to Muslimize.
I think President Obama prefers natural fibers to whatever the Snuggie's made out of.
I particularly like the part about not just putting Muslims into internment camps, but Muslim likes peoples. So if you look even, or you sort of, you have a Muslim-y kind of
thing
to you.
Yeah.
Then it doesn't really matter if you're not. Can you imagine?
Like a vibe,
all
maybe?
The scuffles, people being taken off to internment. I'm Italian!
I'm just a little swarthy.
I'm not even Muslim-like! All right. Thank you, Mrs. Taylor.
Thank you.
And thank you for all the incoming fire you take for me. Are you going to miss me? Because I won't.
Yeah, totally.
Mm-hmm. That sounds like the tone she takes with callers that have a really good point.
Yeah.
All right. This one's
what?
For you.
Oh, God,
Bob in Akron, a problem solver.
Uh-huh.
Much like many of Mama's listeners. Steph, you were talking about your house yesterday morning because of this economy. We had actually a very cogent discussion about the economy.
Yes. We did.
I haven't been able to rent my house here, even though I've lowered the price.
Right.
So I said, why don't you rent my house?
And I said, if you paid me enough, I'd consider it.
Are you kidding? That's ridiculous. I can't pay you enough to rent my house. So we're both in this economy.
Yeah.
Steph, you've been talking about your house. Why don't you just let Chris live there for free? In effect, you'd be giving him a raise because he could bank the money he'd spend on rent. Oh, Bob, that is a spectacularly bad idea, because what's in that for me?
I'm for that.
That's what you might be. That's the thing. It's until you get a personal example of the economy, you don't understand it. But everybody is screwed. It's not a good time to sell your house, obviously, because credit is so tight and the economy's bad, and so, you know, and then no one can rent it because no one has a job. So there.
Wait a minute.
Here's here's the moral of this story is some people probably should not have rented an apartment in New York before they figured out how they were going to rent their house.
Yeah, whose bright idea was that?
I had to have somewhere to take two giant dogs. That's not easy to find in New York.
It's pretty much impossible to find in New York.
My point is, I am personally, so I have a much greater understanding of other people being in this economy.
What about if I paid you what I, what about
if
I... Who
wants to rent my house? Anybody? Anybody out there? Hello? It's only been on for a month, but I'm getting a little nervous. Come on.
What if I paid you what I pay now in rent to live in your house?
One. That's
good. You'd be getting something.
That's ridiculous for your little hovel. All right.
Damn. Okay.
All right, let's get to the hate letter that is just... can I have my hate letter music, please, that is just for me, now that you two are not being dragged into this. Okay. Oh, you know who got dragged into it, though?
Who?
My radio best friend, Randy Rhodes.
Uh-oh.
I've become a fan of this guy because he is the meanest right-winger out there.
Okay.
And I, you know me, I get some pretty bad hate letters.
Yeah.
But this guy, he writes every day. Jay Watson is his name, and he writes to everybody in the media, essentially every website, everybody.
Okay.
The media, and says the meanest things ever about people on the left, all of us. But I need to, the only reason I'm reading this, I need to defend my radio best friend.
Oh, my God, I see that to list.
Yeah, it's to everybody.
Holy
everybody sees.
That's like three quarters of the page.
Yeah. Okay, this one, for some reason, was mostly targeted at me and Randy Rhodes. The subject line, Palin obsession continues for bitter, envious, lonely, left-wing old maids. Bitter, childless, drug-addicted old maids, Stephanie Miller and Randy Rhodes. Okay. Here's where I need to stand up for Randy. She is neither childless nor drug addicted. Let's see. Let me go down the list. Bitter, yes, I'm bitter. Uh-huh.
That's yes.
Childless, yes, I am childless.
That's yes.
Drug addicted, no, not as far as I know. Well, if you don't count
wine.
Yeah. Randy is neither childless nor drug addicted, as far as I know. They continued the choreographed left-wing onslaught against the successful and wealthy Sarah Palin today. So let's skip down. Earlier today... the drug-addicted, childless, unmarried, herpes-afflicted water buffalo, Randy Rhodes. Oh, how dare you, sir.
Herpes-afflicted?
She does not have herpes. Maybe, I'm not really certain.
Chlamydia?
I don't think so. I have no... doctored audio in her ongoing attempt to smear and slander the more popular, more successful, and much more wealthy Sarah Palin. She didn't doctor audio. It's the thing where she didn't know the difference between a rack and a rad.
Yeah.
You big dope, Jay Watson. Oh, anyway, and then he finishes with me. And don't get me started on that low-rated, Democrat-funded, childless spinster. Okay, let's review
Democrat
that.
Democrat-funded?
Yeah, low-rated, no.
Computer says no.
Democrat-funded.
Computer says no.
But we wish.
Yeah.
Childless spinster, yes, that part, yes.
Computer says yes.
And Emmett Kelly impersonator, Stephanie Miller.
Emmett Kelly.
No. Now, if you listen, I am a pathetic Linda Blair and Katherine Hepburn and other irrelevant impression impersonators. Emmett Kelly, I don't even... He's a clown, right?
Although...
I'm not a clown. I'm not here to amuse you, Jay.
When you first walk in,
yes.
You kind of look like Emmett Kelly.
Thank you.
Uh-huh.
She makes Liza Minnelli seem lucid. Good one, Jay. Okay. So, that really was just to set the record straight. In fact... Jay, if you're paying attention, Randy Rhodes has a very handsome and successful lawyer, a boyfriend named Howard. So she is not bitter or lonely.
Nor a spinster.
No. Well, she's not technically married, but she's very happy and very successful. Thank you, Jay. You, listen, come after me if you want to come after bitter, childless, spinster, left-wing old maids or...
Whatever.
Randy Rhodes, way out of your league, sir.
Yes.
All right, 20 minutes. I think I just quoted the American president again, as I'm wont to do, because the wires flap together, and they always seem to come back to that. All right, 20 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
She's your human Prozac. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Mmm, 24 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2. The phone number toll-free from anywhere. John in Asheville, North Carolina. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, John.
Thanks, Stephanie. I watched Sean and Sarah on the Internet having their little interview about Iraq. And Sean said, you know, the president of Iran, the president of Iran, and then Sarah started talking. She said, Ahmadinejad. And then she had this look on her face like, I nailed it. It seemed like they planned it out ahead of time. And then she was like, oh, Iraq, Iraq, Iraq. And I could feel like Sean cringing. And I didn't think he challenged her assessment of Iraq. But
really? So unusual that Sean Hannity wouldn't challenge something Sarah Palin said.
I know.
With his giant John Boner for her.
Maybe he missed it.
Anyway, John Boner.
Anyway, one more thing. I think that Sarah will probably end up on The View because I don't see her on Hollywood Squares.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Excuse me. Thank you. Bless me.
Are you okay?
I'm allergic to something.
Huh.
Likely you. Kevin in
probably.
Kevin in St. Paul, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Kev.
More right-wing projection because the real childless drug addict radio host, of course, is Rush Limbaugh.
Rush Limbaugh, that's right. That's right. And I own up to being a lonely, bitter, childless spinster. That part's true.
I'm surprised they didn't call you a draft dodger, too.
All right, thank you. And by the way, Randy Rhodes served in the military, not
that's
a
right.
draft dodger.
I just got an email from Bryce. Bryce says, Chris, would you really want Stephanie Miller to be both your boss and your landlord? Have you thought this through completely?
I wouldn't really be your landlord because you wouldn't be paying anything, according to
right.
my our listener email. Whose idea was that? All right. Oh, could you take your organ up for me? You are good for that. speaking of, we are going to dive into the right-wing world in a moment. But, yeah, speaking of nasty right-wing yeesh.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh. So the problem is, we've discussed this before, it's all melding together. It's not just mainstream Republicans. They're all becoming lunatic, fringe, religious right. It's all kind of getting, you know, like your corn and your peas and your potatoes. And,
right.
And whatever, Thanksgiving, it's all melding together. I saw this on Rachel Maddow the other night. The latest thing in debasing institutions you pretend to hold dear in order to suggest that President Obama should be murdered without actually coming right out and saying so. Have you seen these things? Yeah.
The Psalms things?
Yes, the T-shirts and festive things like that. You can get in time for the holidays. Psalm 109:8, one of our personal favorites here, next to Rutabaga's 24.
Mm-hmm.
It's appearing on bumper stickers and T-shirts, all of which carry the benign-sounding phrase, pray for Obama. This is just one more in a long line of cheekily coded Obama death threats. However, the verse in question reads, may his days be few, may another take his place of leadership. That fairly naturally leads into Psalm 109:9, may his children be fatherless and his wife a widow. Patience with God, author Frank Schaefer, says it's un-American, it's unpatriotic, it goes to show you that the religious right, the Republican far right, have coalesced into a group who truly want American revolution. It turns out to be blood in the streets and death, so be it. It's not funny stuff anymore. They cannot be dismissed just as crazies on the fringe. It only takes one. You know, look at the Globe article that said the threat level faced by the Secret Service has gone up 400%, higher than any other time in 52 years for any president, Democrat or Republican. These are no jokes. Look, this is the American version of the Taliban. This is the Old Testament biblical equivalent of calling for holy war. Which Orrin Hatch used those very words about health care reform. It's going to be holy war.
Yep.
Isn't that nice? Against health care reform. 28 minutes after the hour, Right Wing World is next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Oh, you ancient bitch.
33 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere, Ralph in Rochester, New York. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Ralph.
Good morning, Steph.
Good morning.
I want to talk about a little bit of Sarah Palin book tour sabotage that I did.
Uh-oh.
Because she's coming to my town this Saturday, and I won't be home because I'm out of town on business. But what I did was...
Coming to Ra-Cha-Cha. Oh, boy.
Wholesale. Well, it's not a very red area either, so I don't know what she thinks she's going to get. But instead of just doing things like flipping her book over and stuff like that, I took George Carlin's book, put Carlin's book on top of it.
Ah! Yay, our friend George Carlin. Yes. All right. Thank you, Ralph. That's a good one. I like it. All right. Oh, by the way, Fox has issued yet another apology. There's been another mistake.
Oh, no. Was this with file footage again?
Mm-hmm. Oh. You know how that happens.
They need to fire their file footage librarian.
Yes, dope. following Think Progress's report that Fox News had recycled old file footage of Sarah Palin rallies to assert that she is currently getting huge turnouts on her book tour.
Mm-hmm.
See, they used old footage when she was running for vice president. See, it made it look like she, oh my gosh. The network issued an on-air apology. Fox Happening Now host. Gee, I must miss that one.
Fox Happening Now?
Fox Happening Now co-host Jane Skinner.
Actually, Jane Skinner is probably one of the least egregious people on Fox
News. She said it was a mistake, but didn't explain how it happened.
Yeah.
Exactly. She said in the tease before the segment, she's explained to all us dopey non-TV people, oh, it's a tease, you see.
Yes.
We told you how these people were already lining up to meet Sarah Palin. The problem is we didn't actually show you the video we were referencing. Instead, we mistakenly heard what's called file tape. You lay people. It's file tape,
mm-hmm.
Chris.
Yes.
Of Sarah Palin. We didn't mean to mislead anybody in that tease. It was a mistake. Oh, you're lying. Okay.
But Jane Skinner's probably the female version of Shepard Smith.
That's probably why they made her do the apology.
Yeah, exactly.
She wasn't even on... hilarious. All right. Yeah. That happened to Sean Hannity, too.
Yeah.
They're such poor victims, those Fox hosts of those idiots in the file footage department down there. Damn it!
In the basement. Nobody's getting fired over this.
Yeah, that's what
Somebody's
they said.
Getting a
and
raise.
There was no word of anybody. Yeah, exactly. Good job. Way to go. Yeah. Sean Hannity got caught, of course, doing the same thing, using footage of another much more highly attended rally to imply that the right-wing teabagger crazies are still some kind of... Okay, let's dive into the right-wing world, shall we, kids? This segment of the Stephanie Miller Show brought to you by Identity Guard. Making it okay to trust again, go to identityguard.com.
They love the right-wing world at Identity Guard.
Yes, they do. All right, Nancy Pfotenhauer.
Yes.
Who desperately needs to buy a vowel. Said this of Sarah Palin on the Situation Room.
They were really struck by her sincerity and her genuineness, and they said, look, basically, I believed every word she said. The answers sometimes were hard, probably on difficult topics, but she seemed very genuine and sincere, and that's part of why she connects with the American people.
She seems genuine. It's also, they say, if you can fake sincerity, you've got it made.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's good enough for me to be a leader of the free world, have the nuclear launch codes. Okie dokie. O'Reilly on Palin as well.
There's no question Sarah Palin is a media star who commands attention wherever she goes.
Superstar.
In America today, that is enough for her to build on if she wants to run for president in 2012.
Then. We are a country of dopes. Yes, sirree. That's
being
enough.
A media star is enough to be president of the United States?
I do see that Molly Shannon sketch in my head every time I hear them talk about her on the right. She's a superstar.
Okay. That's highly irresponsible.
Do you think she does that thing with her hands every time she goes on stage now? Superstar. Okay. Sarah Palin.
The liberal media is going to do what they do. And more Americans, though, are getting disgusted with what they're doing. And not just because of any kind of personal or political attack on me. They're just saying, you know what? Enough is enough. There is no longer a mainstream media that can be trusted to be objective and fair and balanced.
I agree.
People are getting their information.
That's why Fox does so well.
Exactly.
Yeah. Is anyone else getting tired of her little dopey Minnie Mouse voice on every channel?
Yeah.
You can't get away from her.
To be president of the United States, you have to have a certain amount of gravitas. And she has none whatsoever.
Katie Couric looked like... possessor of the most gravitas in the world.
Yeah.
Something's going awry.
Yeah.
Okay. Laura Ingraham. Dear God. And so this is the mammogram.
Yes.
Okay. Kathleen Sebelius's department, right? Did a what was it? Is it a study?
Study and a recommendation.
Yes, that women don't necessarily have to get mammograms till 50.
Right.
To which I was like.
What?
It was like when the witch told Dorothy she could have gone home any time she wanted. What? I didn't need to put my in a ringer for these last 8 years?
You know what, though? That study wasn't done very well because there wasn't a single oncologist on that panel.
Yes,
so,
anyway, obviously we had, who was it, Congress Critter yesterday?
Yes.
That was saying, obviously a lot of people don't, you know, agree with this and would rather err on the side of caution.
Absolutely.
Yada, yada. But as you can imagine, Obama personally responsible for this.
This thing comes out and says women under 50 don't have to get annual mammograms anymore. This, the record is spotty about what it really does to save lives. And the administration is caught totally flat-footed about the outrage from women expressed all across this country. So they've kind of tried to backtrack
But what it did
was show us, really, a little bit of a glimpse into what is obviously going to have to happen down the road, which is rationing.
Oh,
you can't cover
there we go.
This many more people by putting it all in the backs of upper-income earners and gutting Medicare.
Yeah.
Yeah, see how she connected those two things, which really have nothing to do with each other. See, this is how you're going to have government-sponsored rationing that, ooh, everybody.
Some kind of Republican talking point went out about that yesterday because Marsha Blackburn, representative from Tennessee, said the exact same thing the day before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, first of all, a study is not a binding in any way to anybody. It's something you can either you can look at and take, you know, as you would any studies about health information and decide what you want to do personally.
However, a lot of insurance companies take their cues from it. So, you know, insurance companies would have had an excuse to not pay for mammograms every year.
Yes, but what she's saying is she's talking about the public option. It's completely ridiculous analogy.
Right.
Elizabeth, speaking of completely ridiculous, Elizabeth Hasselbeck on Hannity, she's the noted legal expert, right?
Huh?
Constitutional scholar. Oh, no, she's that bimbo.
No, she was a reality show contestant.
Khalid Sheikh Mohammed getting a civilian trial here in New York City. The irony that we now are having this rock star KSM on the biggest Broadway stage of the world to what reenact and draw up all that happened on 9/11. Wow, what a chance for Al-Qaeda to come in. I mean, they should start selling tickets now. This is going to be a circus, an absolute circus, and no illegal combatant deserves a civilian trial, and I cannot believe the decision that's been made.
It's going to be Khalid Sheikh Cirque du Soleil. What? He's on Broadway. I didn't know they were going to put him on Broadway. I thought we were just going to try him. Well, he'll find out like I did.
You know what's interesting to me?
He'll find out.
Stephanie Miller.
They drummed you right out of Hollywood. So you come crawling back to Broadway.
That's what I'm doing.
Well, Broadway doesn't go for booze and dope.
Oops.
Now you get out of my way because I've got a man waiting for me.
I should have checked into that. See, I should have made sure I rented my house here in L.A. first and checked if they go for booze and dope.
But they don't.
On Broadway, and they don't. Now what the hell?
I think Khalid Sheikh Mohammed isn't going to be going for the booze and dope. Something tells
me. He's going to Broadway.
And he's not going to go out because he's got a man waiting for him.
He had an out-of-town tryout at Gitmo, and now he's going to Broadway. What a dope. Okay.
Previews are over at Gitmo.
How can you even take seriously voice? It's like, oh, please. All right.
You know what was interesting to me? Did you see the photo when they had the service for those that were killed at Fort Hood? And they had the inverted rifle into the boot of the soldiers with the helmet on there. Mm-hmm. That, to me, said that was an act of war. Okay? Mm-hmm. That is a traditional symbol for a soldier killed in action. Yep. Right? But yet the words that the president chose said, this was not a terrorist. They're afraid to say terror. Just say it with me. Terror.
Yeah.
Say it.
Oh. Say it!
She's strident, isn't she? Defense Secretary Robert Gates, by the way, has announced they are obviously they're doing a review of the whole Fort Hood tragedy. I think no one more than probably the Army themselves and Robert Gates want to know what happened and how to stop it from happening. Say it, Robert Gates. Say it.
Say it. It was terrorism.
All right. By the way, that concludes the Right Wing World for today. But somebody was kind enough to send me, I've been asking for this for a while, the sound effect from the Bionic Woman, because I think that they can use this on Fox, on some edition of what the Fox, and they, like Bowgate, the recent big breaking news story that they played 24/7. Did the president bow? Was it too deep a bow? And is that somehow, you know, subservient and socialistical?
Right.
Yeah. So I think there was a point where, like, you know, if they could get someone up with a protractor, and then when he starts to bend too far, see, right there.
Actually, I think that was the Bionic Man. The Bionic Woman made a different sound.
Maybe that's just a jackhammer. I'm not sure. Somebody found the correct sound effect.
No, that was the Bionic Man.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Somebody call now.
The Bionic Woman made a more feminine sound. Seriously.
It was more like a little slinky spring.
Yeah.
Okay, 40... All right. 43... That can be used also to indicate the superpowers that terrorists have that are able to evade the American justice system. Oh, no! He jumped over a building and got away! Oh! 44 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Hey, I like it. I like it a lot.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Nine minutes after the hour, the Dow is down 6 points. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Someone has sent us the Bionic Woman sound effect, so that because that's important to contrast to the more manly $6 million man sound effect, which we played. Okay, this is it. Who sent this?
No, I found it on YouTube.
Good for you. Okay. You're right. It is slightly more feminine than the Bionic. Yeah. Oh, that's much more manly. Okay, let's go to Stephanie and Madison. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey, guys.
That was when the $6 million man got an erection, by the way, is what I'm told.
I love the Bionic Man sound. You need to add that to your box before
okay.
Chris
I will put that in my box. Thank you.
Yes.
All right.
Real quick, Kathleen Sebelius, I heard her say yesterday that she doesn't agree with that study.
Right.
So we still need to have those dreamy mammograms.
Yeah, aren't they fun? Well, Steph, that's what I mean. It's like you knew that people like Laura Ingraham are going to take that leap to go, oh, it's the president's personally responsible for this study, and it means that government is going to ration health care.
Someone wrote to me and said that study was started in 2007, by the way.
And Laura Ingraham is just, you know, she's such a witch. I don't know. But can I say one other thing real quick?
Yes.
I think everyone needs to type your name in when checking out for Pro Flowers, USA Coffee, Identity Guard, and obviously buy your podcast for only $4.95 a month.
If you buy a year in advance.
If you buy a year in advance to help with your dogs and all that other stuff.
Thank you. Let's all band together and help Mama, for God's sakes.
Exactly.
Thank you,
exactly.
Stephanie. Thank you, you selfish bastard. Stop thinking of yourselves. Think of
Stephanie Miller.
Let's go. Type Stephanie in the box.
Then maybe you could afford to keep houses on both coasts.
I don't care about that. I just need to pay for kibble.
I need
to pay for kibble, please.
If I
need someone to cover for my disastrous decision. Someone help me.
You know, if I live in your house, you wouldn't have to worry about anybody breaking in or anything. You would save the worry, and that would be worth it.
You would invite everybody in. I'd call. Chris, what's that sound? I hear glass breaking and, like, the house is vibrating. And what the hell is... Hello?
But then
I'd have to... be like, oh, I'm just getting sound bites. I have the TV up really loud.
Yeah, that's it.
That's what it is.
But then I'd have to put up with... you know, nonstop share from up the hill and screaming dogs from next door.
Yeah, welcome to my nightmare. Okay, Michael in L.A. has some Bionic Man fun facts. Hello, Michael.
Before I get to my Bionic fun fact, did you just say that you were going to put the $6 million man's erection in your box?
Yes. Chris has to ship my box to New York after the show today so that it gets there in time.
So she's going to be without a box for a few days next week.
Yeah, for 3 days next week for the short Thanksgiving week, and then,
Perhaps there's surgery for that.
Yes, but my box will be full and complete by November 30th, including with the Bionic Man.
The sound effects, I mean, I'm pretty sure the running are similar, but I think his eye made a different noise than her ear.
Yes.
Yes. That's he had the bionic eye. She had the bionic ear.
Right.
Yes. And she also,
as you know,
the bionic arm too. Did she not?
Yes.
Yeah, I think.
They both had bionic arms.
I think the arm made a different noise than the leg, and the eye made a different noise than
Well, as
the
all
ear,
you men know, pretty much any wife has a bionic ear. That is,
I think that's why they made a woman have an ear instead of an eye.
Yeah.
Guys like to look.
Honey, is that you?
Women like to look.
What do you do at 3 a.m., honey? What? Yeah. You could even tiptoeing in socks, the bionic ear.
Yeah. Yes, it would work. Yeah, women here do hear everything.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you, Michael. All right. Yeah, I couldn't remember which exact parts were which there.
Yeah, the bionic woman had the ear.
She had the ear.
Right.
And the arm, and that's it?
Oh, no, she had legs, too.
No, she had more parts than that.
She had legs because she could run fast, like the bionic man.
That's right. They both had bionic legs. Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, do the other one.
I have to queue it up.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, now you've got me. I need to know the fun facts because I loved that show. It was my favorite, The Bionic Woman.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is how, if I ever had a daughter, which I didn't. Thank you. There you go. If I ever had a daughter and I didn't end up a childless spinster, I was going to name my daughter Jamie. I swear to God.
See, in this, she was picking up a hay bale and throwing it at the bad guys.
That's right. She hit them with a hay bale. Oh, now you've got me off on Bionic Woman. I need to remember everything about it. It's Friday. I don't need to focus on healthcare. Okay, so she had that's right, because she was on the treadmill. Now, it was him that they did what's the beginning that we can rebuild him, make him stronger, faster?
Right. I don't think the Bionic Woman had words. I think they just showed her parachute accident. And
we can rebuild him, make him stronger, faster, better. Yeah, but she was the one running on the treadmill. It was like George Jetson. It was like, just kept going faster and faster.
Get me off this crazy thing.
Did she actually yell, get me off this crazy thing?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, and she had the ear, and I don't know when he had the eye, but then what other parts were bionic on the Bionic Man?
I don't know.
Was I wrong about the part that may or may not have been bionic? I'm just saying. Because then supposedly the bionic woman would hear that if he got excited anywhere in the house. Her bionic ear would pick up his bionic erection, and then that's how they would... Honey, that better be for me. Okay, let's... Wow, I have driven the bus off the rails all by myself this morning.
Yes, you have.
Usually you and Jim push. Jim will be here in a couple of minutes. He can help me get the bus out of the ditch. Steve in Chicago. Hello, Steve.
Yes, hi there. I'm calling about that Bill O'Reilly clip.
Yes.
Besides being stupid on its face, I seem to remember back during the election, the Republicans' number one talking point against Obama was, oh, he's just a media star.
Exactly. That's what, you know, well, David Plouffe, who we had on this week, Obama's campaign manager, said that, you know, they could barely contain their delight when he picked Sarah Palin because they're like, what? That undermines their whole argument.
Right.
That he's just a celebrity and he doesn't have any real experience and blah, 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 blah.
My friend Travis just texted me and said that the Bionic Woman had Max the Bionic Dog.
My dog is named Max. I didn't even name him that for that reason. Oh.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Dave in Minneapolis. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Dave.
You know, you are not a well woman. I just got to tell you.
Yeah, I know. Isn't that weird? I'm really gone off the rails. I'm under a lot of stress, Dave.
I know you are, honey. This move is taking its toll. But what I was going to say is, you know, getting on a serious note, and I apologize for that, is the easiest thing to feign is outrage. Yeah, if you can feign sincerity, you know, it's a good deal, but outrage is so easy to do.
Yep.
The other thing I was going to say is I got a really great bumper sticker. If Sarah Palin chooses Glenn Beck as her running mate, we'll call it both Vapid and Rabid in 2012.
Vapid and Rapid. I like it.
Yeah.
Thank you, sir.
Oh, and yes. Charles Plath tweeted and said, remember that they both fought Bigfoot in 1974.
The Bionic Man. The $6 Million Man and the Bionic Woman?
Yes, they both fought Bigfoot in a TV movie.
I'm going to find the theme songs. We're playing them next. 57 minutes after the hour. That and Lori Van Auken, 9/11 widow, on the closing of Gitmo as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh boy, the show is skidded on some black ice, and now we cannot regain control. It's Friday.
Oh, Friday before a holiday. Too.
Just during the break, we have compiled the theme to the Bionic Woman, the $6 Million Man, and the sound of the $6 Million Man's
Bionic Eye.
Yes.
Shano sent that along.
We'll be back with all of that. And don't ask me how it started. I don't remember. Oh, the terrorists having superpowers, Jim.
Right.
They can evade the U.S. justice
KSM,
system.
KSM, Broadway star.
Yes.
Right.
Broadway.
But Broadway doesn't go for booze and dope.
And Muslims don't so much either.
No.
Not really.
Unless they're selling it to people. You know,
StephanieMiller.com, the website. You can email us all there. Executive producer, Chris Lavoie, voice deity, Jim Warder, me, Stephanie Miller. This hour of the Stephanie Miller Show brought to you by Saturn. The sale from Saturn is here. The best deals ever on a Saturn.
Ever?
With $4,000 total cash back on every new vehicle. Or qualified buyers can choose 0% financing on all models. Length of contract limited. Take delivery by November 30th.
Love that Saturn sky.
To your Saturn retailer today, Jim. Go. Run like the wind.
Run, Forrest, run.
All right. Lots to get to. Meanwhile, we've had a very cogent discussion, Jim, this last hour of the how bad the economy is, in the sense that some people, which will go unnamed, have rented an apartment in New York without having rented their house here and are now finding that they're unable to rent their house here despite having lowered the price already and already beyond the point of losing money
so
on it.
So you're going to have hobos living in your house.
Well, no, she's going to have me living in the house for
free. Yeah, someone suggested that let Chris live there free, which is a really a bad idea
wild
on so many levels.
Every night.
Yeah, like yes. I'm the type that has a wild party every
yes.
night.
Well, by night, I mean 5:30 in the afternoon.
Yeah, exactly. At least they'd be over right after the early bird special.
Right.
All right. All right. If only there was someone that could help us, some super economist. Why, it's Christian Weller, economist with the Center for American Progress. Good morning, Christian.
Good morning, Stephanie.
Well, not so much for me, sir. You know how the economy, as you and I have talked about, just an abstraction until it bites you in your own ass. Am I right?
That's right. I mean, I was just thinking of how to actually make this, like, grippy, and the number that is most striking that came out yesterday is that 1 in 7 mortgages is now delinquent or in foreclosure, and that is when you're sitting around the Thanksgiving table next week, you know, one of the families around the table falls into that category.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yes.
Oh my God.
Listen, you're talking to me, mister. One of the festive fun facts that you sent along from the Center for American Progress this morning, many houses are empty. I'm like, that's mine.
Well, that's exactly, I mean, because so many people are delinquent or are in foreclosure, that means the foreclosed properties ultimately are going to come onto the market. That means there's more houses for sale eventually. And because so many people are behind in their payments, there is fewer buyers. Regardless of what we do.
Right.
And we know that that's been the problem that's been holding the economy back, that we have this enormous debt overhang. And it's not just debt, it's bad debt.
But let me ask you, Christian, how, in your opinion, do we get out of this cycle? Because I'm talking to my realtor, and, you know, I've lowered the price. There's nobody that can rent because so many people are out of work. You know, it's not a good time to sell because, obviously, the housing market is down, right? The credit is so tight. It's a vicious circle, right? I mean, how do we get out of it?
Well, for an individual homeowner, there's very little you can do. You can tell the potential buyers, like, there is a homeowner credit, and the interest rates will never be this low again, and whatever other sales pitches you can up with, and you can put nice flowers on the tables in the entryway and stuff like that. But that doesn't sell the homes. In the end, it's a policy challenge, and there's two things here. A, you need to get the jobs back so people actually have money, not just borrowed money, but actually real money that they can buy a house with. And then the other part is you've got to get rid of the debt, and that means you got to force at some point the banks to take a hit, and that's the part that's been missing. For instance, you could change the bankruptcy code. Is it possible under the current bankruptcy code that a bankruptcy judge says, okay, well, forces the bank to take a hit on the mortgage, writing off part of the mortgage, on a second home, on a vacation home, but that's not possible to do in a primary residence. So that's been one of the proposals been lingering out there. Nobody really wanted to touch it seriously, but eventually you have to move in that direction, saying, like, the banks, they have all this money now, they got the TARP money, they got the bailouts.
Yeah, why aren't they lending? That's the thing. I mean, you know, somebody was saying, you know, I got a loan for my house. I'd been out of work for a year. Like, my business guy's like, you couldn't buy your house now. Like, you couldn't get the
that
money.
That was a while ago.
Yeah.
That was a while. Well, the banks are not lending because right now it makes sense to just simply pile up equity and piling up capital and just simply cash. in financing some very safe transactions, giving money to people who don't really need it to buy another house that they don't really need. And that will ultimately at least limit the losses that they incur. And that means their profits look better than they were a year ago, and that means they can pay themselves enormous bonuses. The main thing is, however, like all kidding aside, on the banking side, as long as you have these massive foreclosures, there is the credit quality is fairly low, and it actually doesn't make all that much sense for banks to lend. So again, you do need to attack this problem from two sides. You need to get more jobs out there, and then you need to ultimately take some of the old debt off the table.
Mm-hmm.
And that the Obama administration and Congress have been trying to do this in different ways through renegotiations, but I think the one thing that's still missing is changes to the bankruptcy code to basically allow bankruptcy judges to say, like, okay, you bankers, you now have to take a hit on this loan.
Right. What about health care reform? We're obviously getting close here. What do you think is going on?
I think this is very encouraging. The estimates from the Congressional Budget Office for the Senate bill that Harry Reid, which is now called the Reid bill, is proposing seems very promising. It has a watered-down public option, but on the other hand, it does a lot more than previous Senate versions in terms of cost control. It will cover more people than previous versions of the bill. 31 more million more Americans will get health insurance under this bill, and it reduces the deficit. So I think this is where I think the big fight between the House and the Senate at this point will mm-hmm. be is, okay, well, do we take this watered-down version of the public option from the Senate, or do we take the real public mm-hmm. option from the House? But in the end, you're in the same ballpark in terms of covering people. You're getting, I think, to 95% of Americans having yep. health insurance. You have, under both bills, bending the cost curve, meaning the health care inflation is being reined in. I like this expert panel that the Senate is establishing,
right.
which is really saying, okay, well, we're going to have like a regular review of what we're doing in our health care system.
Yep.
I think that's very creative
yep.
and very innovative.
Christian.
I got to say, this is very courageous and pretty good.
Yep, let's keep our fingers crossed. Let me, before you go, quickly get your reaction to the vice president yesterday.
We have created or saved 640,239 jobs.
I love that the right wing says, oh, save jobs. Those aren't really jobs. Well, they are if yours is the job that got saved, right?
Well, I mean, this is like the conservatives wanting to basically do away with any economic policy analysis we've done for decades. Clearly, what we do with any economic policy is what would have happened absent the policy, and that does include typically jobs saved that otherwise would have disappeared.
That's what
we teach our students in every economic policy class, that this is standard fare
yeah.
for everybody. So
to the layperson like me, it really literally is like they drove the you know, financial bus into the ditch, and we're sitting there, and they're going, how about if we just step on the gas and just keep going down into the mud? It's like, what? No, that's how we got. Let's try something else.
Yeah,
all right,
no,
Christian.
That's the thing. Like, at this point, it's not worth really talking to some of these conservatives. I mean, that has nothing to do with politics. It's just simply, I don't want to have conversations with naysayers. I want to hear good policy.
Yes, you do.
All right, Christian Weller from RoboCop and the economist for the Center for American Progress. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much for having me.
All right, there he goes.
And Buckaroo Banzai.
Yeah.
House.
Hey,
wherever
speaking
go,
of the ditch, let's go back into the Bionic Man $6 million
oh,
woman
no.
ditch. It's the only thing that's going to make us feel better about the economy. Keith in Illinois with some more Bionic Man fun facts. $6 million man. Hi, Keith.
Well, good morning, goddess. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
You were talking about the Bionic Man and the Bionic Woman.
Yes.
Of course, she had the ear because, you know, a woman's got to hear everything.
Yeah, well, we all have that.
He had the eye. They both had bionic arm, one bionic arm. I believe his may have been his right arm.
Oh, and here's the thing with his eye. See, he wouldn't have been able to hide the fact that he was checking out other women, right? She'll be like, I heard that. Yes, you were looking at her. I heard it. No, I wasn't.
You were looking at her underwear with your x-ray bionic eye.
Yes.
Yep. I have been sent both the bionic eye from the $6 Million Man sound effect bionic ear from the bionic woman.
I feel the
man.
Rest of the show being gobbled up alive.
Okay.
So many people
now,
have so much time in their
hands.
Jim, we need some fluff to distract us from the news of the day. So I needed to know all the facts because I couldn't remember how he got broken and how she got broken, and you explained it to me.
He was an astronaut.
Well, he crashed in the X-24, this experimental plane.
Yeah.
Looked like a bathtub with little things on it.
Which may have been why it crashed.
Yeah.
Someone might have said, you know, it's like a bathtub.
With wings.
Not even wings.
Okay.
There's like, you know. Yeah, like Uncle Martin's spaceship from My Favorite Martian.
And Chris tells me that she got broken in just a weekend parachute accident. That was
military
related.
No,
She was drunk. Just goofing off.
drunken parachuting accident.
Jumping out of planes.
Jumped off her balcony.
Yeah. Okay, here's the bionic eye from the $6 Million Man.
You don't even understand the kind of heaven I'm in right now.
And this is the bionic ear from the bionic woman.
Sonar. It's sonar.
Flipper? I'm sorry. Flipper? Flipper, you said what?
What's that noise in my ear?
It's tinnitus.
Tinnitus. You need some quietus.
You need quietus, my friend.
God, it never stops.
What's that, Flipper? Lassie says, who's in the well? All right. So do we have the theme songs, please?
Oh, Lord. Okay. Here's the $6 Million Man.
Thank you.
It pretty much tells the story of the entire show.
Oh, thank God. Here we go. Yeah, remember that? When they used to tell the whole story? You didn't even have to watch it.
Yeah.
Steve Austin, astronaut.
Peter Coyote.
A man barely alive. Gentlemen, we can rebuild him.
No, I don't think
we have the technology.
Or is it Oscar Goldman?
We have the capability to make the world's first bionic man.
Actually, I met the guy who did this.
Steve Austin will be that man. Better than he was before.
Better. Stronger. Faster. Which isn't always a good thing.
This is when he's jumping?
Then he's doing random bionic stuff.
Yeah, Jim, doesn't it remind you of the long 70s story songs?
Like Edmund Fitzgerald. Or the trailers that told you the entire movie.
Yeah, the trailer. And then, and the TV
in
shows.
Act three.
Yeah, because like now, they just go right to it because they found they were losing.
And in the end, everybody
viewers.
Dies. Right. Oh, I've said too much.
Yeah, because they were losing viewers, so that's what they decided. Now they just go right to it. But you remember back in the day,
yeah,
it was the entire story of the series. The opens were like
well, that's when we had fewer
long.
Commercials, too, when you actually had the whole 25 minutes or whatever it is. Now it's down to 18 or something, so they could jam more commercials in.
Yeah, like the 70s songs, way too many words, long story songs,
Superior,
you
know. Superior, they said, never gives up or dead when the winds of winter come early. And they got on the boat and the weather was rough and they all appeared. Or the, whatever.
Oh, for the love of God. All right, and then the...
And 20 years later, the ship's still down there. And
okay, and then one time at band camp. Okay.
You stuck a flute where?
Bionic woman.
This has no story or anything. It's just a minute 22 of music.
It was awesome, though.
And hot.
She was pretty, it didn't matter. It was just lots of pictures of her.
Shaking her hair.
Yeah, doing athletic stuff. She was a tennis player, right? Wasn't she?
I don't know.
She was a tennis player.
Her backhand could kill you.
Backhand can decapitate you. Was that? All right, no story.
Well, no, there's like a minute 22 of it, and I wasn't going to play the whole thing.
Oh, back in the day for the longer theme song.
Jamie Summers. Just look at her.
Wow.
She's hot. All right, 20 minutes.
Bionic perv
bionic
over here.
Parts of mine are being activated as we speak.
Oh, no. See? He's getting the bionic erection that we spoke of earlier. You could hear it from a mile away. It was like a jackhammer. Jim! 20 minutes after the hour.
Don't do that with your bionic arm.
Oh, no. We have an ad for quietus coming up.
Perfect.
You just have to wonder what bionic masturbation sounded like.
No, that's
hard to do that in the privacy of your bedroom.
Yeah.
What? the hell? Are you putting in a new wing up there? What's happening? 21 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
And now, here's something we hope you'll really like.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Down 13 points, 25 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. I'm going to stay here in the Bionic Man and Woman ditch because somebody emailed a really important point.
Denise in St. Paul says, the thing that always amazed me about her bionic hearing was that she had to move her hair away from her ear. Like the hearing can pierce through miles, but not her blonde hair.
She can hear through lead walls, but not her, through her hair helmet.
Through your hair first. Oh, okay.
It was the 70s. They had a lot of hair back then.
They might have had to tweak that technology just a little bit.
Everyone had their own personal hole in the ozone layer over their head.
From
cans of hairspray.
From the cans of Farrah Fawcett hairspray.
And then what did Travis tweet us? You said something else. I cannot get enough of the bionicness.
Geez. Okay. Okay, she was a pro tennis player.
Thank you.
In the opening credits, she popped a tennis ball.
Thank you.
Like with her hand, she popped it.
Yeah,
ouch.
I told you I know more about
this.
Oh,
and also,
yes.
he also texted me and said that Sandra Bullock played Kate the Bionic Girl in an 80s reunion movie.
Oh, huh. I cannot get enough bionic trivia.
My friend Travis is a great big old nerd.
Kim in, no, not more than Kim in Durham, North Carolina. Hello, Kim.
Hi, Steph. When I was 9, I was riding my bike, and one day I decided to be brave and ride down this really, really big hill that I'd always been scared to go down before. Uh-huh. And halfway down, my bike was going so fast, I panicked. I had a new bike. I forgot how to use the brakes.
Oh, boy.
And I didn't know how to stop. But I remembered. I just watched The Bionic Woman last night, and the cart she was driving, her brakes had gone out. And what she did was she stuck her bionic foot out.
Oh, like a Flintstones, like a bionic Flintstones foot. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly, to stop the car. And I thought, well, hey, if she can do it, why not?
That didn't end well for you, did it, Kim?
No, it didn't. Ended with about 12 stitches.
Oh. Yeah, that was one of the dangers, Kim, of The Bionic Woman being your hero in the 70s, because I thought that, too. Oh, they'll just replace stuff with bionic parts. It'll be fine. And I'll get to marry Steve Austin.
Yeah, that doesn't happen either. Yeah,
all right, Kim, yeah, me neither. I had the biggest crush on the $6 million man.
Have you seen the ads he's doing now for a hearing aid? That's bionic hearing aid.
Great.
Seriously, have you seen them? He looks so old. It's really sad.
Does he use the sound effect of bionic ear? That's hilarious. I remember once I was riding my bike to the pool, and remember you had those handlebars that went under on your bike, and I used to carry my towel on top, and it fell down into the brake, and I went flying over the handlebars.
Oh, boy.
Thinking that they would just replace stuff with bionic parts.
Computer says no.
No. 28 minutes after the hour.
Some of your parts were replaced.
Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I should warn you that
Stephanie Miller
can cause powerful hallucinations, so I highly recommend it.
That was down 20 points. 33 minutes after the hour. Happy Friday, everybody. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Oh, God, it's like potato chips, bionic fun facts. You can't eat just one. There's somebody has sent yet another one.
Oh, yeah. Apparently, Helen Hunt played an alien princess from some place called Islandia, and Jamie Summers protected her by chucking a head of lettuce at a bad guy.
Of course she did.
I think this discussion started with if terrorists have some sort of superpowers that would allow them to evade the American justice system entirely, but I don't remember anymore.
Yeah.
All right. We are joined by Lori Van Auken to discuss the closing of Gitmo. She is one of the famous Jersey girls, the 9/11 widows, to talk about the closing of Guantanamo and these terror trials. Good morning, Lori.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you so much for taking time for us.
No problem.
You obviously, a lot of this back in the news, you know, in terms of the I got to ask you first about the terror trials being in New York and your thoughts on that.
Well, we're actually encouraged that the terror trials will be moved to New York. We feel that that's the correct venue near where the attacks happened, and giving the families a chance to actually watch the trials. And we think that our justice system can handle it. It has handled it before. Moussaoui was tried in, you know, on our soil, so that's kind of an empty argument that we can't do this. We've done it already.
Mm-hmm. And, Lori, you know, I have to ask, you lost your husband in the World Trade Center, correct?
Yes.
And I'm so sorry about that. I lived in New York at the time, and I, like most people, knew someone that lost someone. And so, you know, that's what people miss, that this is very personal. And what you just said, I think, is the crux of it, is this is what normally happens. People are brought to the scene of the crime to answer for their crimes, and it gives, among many other reasons, it does give the families a measure of what justice you can, doesn't it?
Absolutely. And the military commissions, which have been, you know, held up as this fabulous system, really have not worked. You know, the only trial that was brought to completion was that of Hamdan, and he got 66 months. And with time served, I think he got out, like, after 18. He's back in Yemen, so I don't even know, like, how long they actually held him, but he's back in Yemen now. And nobody, there was no outrage at the time. I don't know where everybody was. But the federal courts have tried, like, some 214 terrorist cases with, like, a 91% success rate. Like 195 convictions. So I think we can handle it. And according to Commissioner Kelly and Mayor Bloomberg, they say they can handle it. So, you know, the other argument is that people fear a terrorist strike if we have the trials in New York. But we could have a terrorist strike, you know, if we try the people in Gitmo, or we could have a terrorist strike if the verdict is seen as not being fair. And there's a lot of reasons why we could have a terrorist strike. So I don't think we should act out of a place of fear, and we should use the system that we already know works.
Yep. Lori, I mean, I know how the rest of us felt. I can only imagine, as someone that lost someone you love in 9/11, what it must have felt like to watch, you know, the Bush administration essentially let Osama bin Laden and others get away at Tora Bora, and now they're the ones saying, you know, now that we've caught people involved and we're ready to try and convict them, they're saying that's the wrong way to do it?
Yeah, it doesn't really make a lot of sense. You know, it's been 8 years that we've waited for someone to be held accountable. And, you know, to this date, nobody really has. And we're really just still waiting. So for us, this is the right move. We've wanted this for a long time. We don't believe that, you know, because basically evidence that's obtained through torture is not evidence. So a lot of what they have gotten from, you know, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed will not be admissible in a trial or even in a military commission, it should be noted.
Yeah, exactly. Well, so you I always thought that was sort of pejorative, saying, calling you guys the Jersey Girls, but I don't even know how that started. Do you?
Actually, we never thought of it as pejorative because it was actually done by our own group. There were four of us that were from New Jersey, and whenever the rest of the, you know, the family steering committee, which was comprised of 12 family members, where, you know, Connecticut was represented, New York, you know, we were all over the place. And whenever they wanted to know what, you know, we were thinking, they'd go, well, call the Jersey Girls.
Right, Christine Breitweiser, and obviously people came to know that. But you guys have been talking now about the ongoing debate about closing Gitmo. What are your thoughts on that?
We would like to see Gitmo closed. We think that it's a huge stain on America, and basically America is supposed to be a rule of law, you know, governed by the rule of law, and we believe that that is what we should stand behind. Those are our stated ideals throughout the world, and are we going to now start to act like, you know, barbarians if we don't follow our own words?
Right. Well, that's what, you know, somebody made the point, Lori, that, you know, yeah, if you want swift justice, the Taliban will give you a trial and a beheading in a few hours. But, you know, isn't that the whole point, is we're not them? You know, we're America.
Exactly. And we wanted, you know, the stated objective was to spread democracy around the world. Well, then how about if we start here?
You know, Lori, I know that you guys obviously from the beginning were advocating for a commission to investigate the September 11th attacks. Has that been done to your satisfaction?
No, absolutely not. And by the way, this is just more of the same as far as all of this goes. We wanted transparency. We wanted evidence. We wanted to see the evidence from the very beginning. We wanted to really understand what happened, who failed in their jobs, because this was not just, you know, failure. It was a failure by a lot of government agencies. We wanted to see. We wanted to see people held accountable for those failures. None of that was ever done. A lot of things were swept under the rug, and, you know, a lot of things were claimed to be sources and methods or you know, classified or, you know, whatever, and we weren't allowed to see it. You know, so this is really more of the same. We've always wanted to follow the trail of evidence. And this is just, you know, so asking for these people to be tried in a federal court is really what we have always been all about.
Yep. Lori, you know, I was going to say, I know how angry it makes me. I can only imagine how angry it makes you when they keep parroting over and over again that the Bush administration kept us safe. I mean, we're like, well, except for the one time that was the worst national security failure in our history. I mean, does it surprise you that people keep trying to, you know, keep like giving them credit for keeping us safe?
It's really an amazing thing when you think about it. Right, the one day when, you know, we didn't even have, you know how they usually do that siren on TV that, you know, about the emergency broadcast system. We didn't even have that happen on September 11th. So
right.
I don't really know how anybody says the Bush administration kept us safe, because my husband, you know, is dead, and that happened on September 11th under the Bush administration's watch.
Your husband, Kenneth, did he work in the World Trade Center, Lori, or?
He did. He was in the first tower that was hit, the North Tower.
Mm.
He worked for Cantor Fitzgerald on the 105th floor.
I actually lived in New York at the time. I co-hosted a show with a friend whose husband was actually didn't work there, was just at a breakfast at Windows on the World in the World Trade Center that morning. You know, and I know that, you know, it might have been a couple years after. I mean, she had said, you know, she's raising two kids on her own. I know that you have two kids, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And I know she said it doesn't get better, at least at that point in her healing. She said, how are things for you, if you don't mind my asking?
Well, I mean, that's just another point that I could make right here about what people are saying, opening the wounds. You know, I could go through my calendar and tell you, you know, there's January is New Year's.
Yeah.
February is Valentine's Day. March is my birthday. April is my daughter's birthday. May is Mother's Day. June is Father's Day. I mean, you know, that's the calendar. So come September 11th when we are reading the names. But, you know, the wounds are constantly open. It doesn't ever close.
Right, exactly. So what you're saying is the trial for you emotionally is it would be more healing than not being able to see justice.
Finally seeing someone held accountable for the worst terrorist strike, you know, in this country's history would be, you know, amazing.
Well, I know one of the right wing, they keep saying, oh, it gives them a platform to spout their whatever. To me, I kind of say, who cares? You know, criminals spout all kinds of things when they're being tried, right?
We feel this gives us a platform to show our system of justice.
Well, you know what? I'm not scared. I'm moving to New York next week, so I'll ring you up. We'll go out for coffee. How's that?
Absolutely. That's a great idea.
All right. Lori Van Auken, thank you so much for taking time for us.
Thank you.
All right. There she goes, Lori Van Auken of the Jersey Girls.
I still want to know what happened to all the footage of whatever crashed into the Pentagon. There were cameras on several hotels, gas stations, must have been about 20 of them. All of that was confiscated. And not a word why we're being kept from seeing what happened.
Yeah. Well, and I've said, Jim, again, you and I may differ on what we think happened exactly, but, you know, listen to her. Her husband died in the World Trade Center. Having questions about 9/11 does not make you some kind of crazy conspiracy theorist. You know?
She brought up a good point.
Think the 9/11 Commission was a whitewash.
Why was there not even, the alert that they give?
Yeah.
The emergency broadcast
right.
system.
Yeah.
Right. I didn't even think about that. Yeah. Where was the Air Force?
Right, and Van Jones lost his job because he signed a petition saying, hey, I have some questions about 9/11. All right, 43 minutes after the hour. I'm sorry, we're going to go briefly back into the bionic ditch in a moment and then on to healthcare.
Hey, bionic healthcare. Let's combine them.
Will healthcare cover bionic parts?
I hope so.
Oh, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
You'll cheer, you'll cry, you might even get a cheap laugh or two.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 47 minutes after the hour. And now, back to the Bionic Man. Sue in Rockville, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Sue.
Hi.
Hi. Two quick things.
Yes.
One is about the call you just had. She's such an incredibly brave woman.
I know.
If the people are so scared about having KSM and their ilk being tried in Manhattan, why don't we just not have their trials? We'll just try Cheney, Bush, Rumsfeld.
Yeah.
We're happy to separate the war crimes trials.
We could. And none of the Republicans are afraid of them, right?
Yeah, exactly.
On the other hand, I have to protest. I have to protest this whole line of bionic stuff.
Yes.
Because some of us were raising young children at the time, and we didn't allow them to watch crap on TV.
Oh, no.
And I have no reference point. I have
Excuse
no
me, ma'am. Are you calling the bionic shows crap?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. We finally parted ways. We're like political soulmates, and now... Now you've gone and done it, Sue.
I'm so sorry. We only let the kids watch PBS, and otherwise the TV was off.
Sue, if
PBS and broccoli.
Sue, if my memory serves me, when I did my last appearance in Washington, D.C., you brought a baby to the bar.
Ew! You have a baby! In a bar!
And yet...
That baby is 2 and a half now, and she will take out anybody. Mm. So
you care. Get your priorities straight, Missy.
Yeah,
all right,
you'll take a baby to a bar, but you won't let them watch the Bionic Man.
$6 million man. Who would now be the $600 million man?
Yeah.
Inflation.
Yeah. Exactly. It'd be a lot more expensive. I don't think healthcare would cover bionic parts now.
No.
Jim in Illinois, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show on bionicness as well. Hello, Jim.
Hey, you gotta look at it this way. If the guys were made prior to the 70s, I mean, they couldn't have had any more than a couple kilobytes of memory. I mean, they couldn't have been any more advanced than the Commodore 64, for God's sake.
Well, Jim, this is why the bionic woman had to move her hair before her bionic ear would work.
They had as much computing power as, like, a calculator watch.
But you gotta look at it this way. Where did they put the floppy to upgrade them?
Good idea.
And you know, floppies, you know, weren't little floppies back then. They were the big actual
like
floppy
78s.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I'm getting ready to move, as you know, to New York next week. I'll be going back and forth, but
right.
I'm, you know, how you clean out and stuff.
Yes.
Do you do this, Chris? Do you, because we're radio geeks from 1,000 years.
And we've
do you
moved
have
a million times.
I have carts.
I have
radio
carts.
Carts. I got cassettes.
I have reel to reels.
Yeah.
Of old
and
air
I
checks.
Have floppy disks. This way you just throw them out, right?
I should have saved them.
Yeah, I have reel-to-reels, too. I'm just like, you throw them out, right? What the hell? There's nothing even to... They're going to find those someday. It's going to be like a time capsule. They'll be like, oh, my God, what the hell? When did she start in radio? There's nothing. There's no technology available to play any of this.
Well, we have no reel-to-reel player in this room.
All right.
There are people who still have them, though.
I can get rid of more stuff.
Transfer them.
Jack in New York, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Stephanie, when you were driving the bus for the city of Lockport, did you drive over to the YMCA camp?
No, you mistook my camp stories. I drove a bus out here in L.A. When I was in college at Cali Camp. I drove kids to summer camp.
Oh, so you never went to Camp Keenan?
No, I did not, but thank you for that. No, that was, where's my kids screaming? Yeah, I was a camp counselor. I worked at a camp for overprivileged children. On my summer vacations, and I had to drive a bus. As I recall, Jim, they sort of rushed us through the training for the, but I wasn't really
you didn't
properly.
You had to work a stick, did you?
Yeah, they were kind of like, that's good enough. Yay.
You know you're supposed to have a special driver's license to drive a bus. Did you get one?
Yeah, but they kind of rushed you through that.
Oh.
Yeah.
Hmm.
All right,
at the DMV?
This is maybe a first time ever in radio, but I'm nervous because I'm moving next week, and I'm having a little bit of a situation. I need to go to the bathroom for a minute. Here, I'm going to answer a call, and you guys go ahead and take this. I'll be right back.
Okay.
Connie in Los Angeles, you're on with the Moogs. Good luck, everybody. I'll be right back.
Hi, Connie. How are you?
I'm good.
Better than Stephanie, apparently.
Bionic woman was a teacher, and she got control of her class the first day of class by ripping a phone book with her bare hands.
Really?
Yes, I remember very distinctly because then I wanted to be a teacher and do that.
Now, she was also apparently a professional tennis player.
I think that she went into teaching after her career ended.
Oh, okay. Huh. Well, okay.
Did she teach you how to rip a phone book in two?
It was fabulous.
Awesome. Okay. Wow. Stephanie's
okay.
Really gone. Okay. Joel in Oakland has a theory about the bionic woman's hair. Hey, Joel. How you doing?
Yes. I'm doing good. I'm glad. I hope you're doing good, too.
Apparently better than Stephanie's doing.
Apparently so, yeah.
Hey, back.
Okay, Joel in Oakland has a theory about Jamie Summers' hair.
Hi, Joe.
I said when you went to break during the first two segments, the first ad spot for both the breaks,
yes,
the quietest commercial.
Yes, I know.
Yeah, I know.
It was a beautiful thing. I believe that the bionic woman's hair was, in fact, itself bionic. It was bionic soundproofing hair.
From
having the quietus attack, and that's why she had to...
Because she would hear everything.
That would drive her nuts.
It would be like living in the quietus commercial.
You know, you've busted us. We made it sound like this bionic conversation was just sort of spontaneous, and it was all to just sort of, quietus. All right. Well, see how we did that?
Mm-hmm. By the way, we're trying to find a less annoying quietus commercial.
We've
gotten lots of cards and letters about that.
Yeah. Someone jumps up and turns the sound down every time you...
B in Miami, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, B.
Hi. I was just thinking that, and Jim will be very familiar with this, one of the tiny perks about becoming a parent is that you start watching their cartoons. And obviously the animators and people who work there are your age. So whenever somebody jumps in the air slowly in slow motion, it sounds like this.
Right.
Yes.
And it brings you back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Jim is a well-known animation artist. There you go.
Janice does that sound effect all the time.
She does?
Yeah.
In what context?
Oh, well, you don't want to know.
Yes, I do. I want to know what your lovely wife means. See, that's what I was saying.
I don't want to know.
Did the bionic man make a sound when he got excited? And I'm just guessing. That he did.
Yikes.
Okay, Josh.
It sounded like that hurt.
Josh in Charlottesville, Virginia. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Good morning. I had a comment about healthcare, but I have a little bit of $6 Million Man trivia too.
Oh, thank you. Yes, go ahead.
Okay. Did you guys know that they had a two-parter on both the Bionic Woman and the $6 Million Man where they fought Bigfoot?
Yes, and Bigfoot was also bionic.
Yes.
Remember?
The two different guys played Bigfoot. First one was Andre the Giant from the WWE.
Oh, yeah.
And the second was Tom Cassidy.
I'm the Dread Pirate Robert.
And the second was who?
The second one was Tom Cassidy from the Addams Family.
Wow.
Ted Cassidy. Ted Cassidy, mm-hmm. who played Lurch.
Yeah, Lurch.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow. You know what? We really all need to pause and think about the fact that we know all this stuff. Seriously.
Yeah, we are such geeks. But I really wanted to talk about healthcare. And I think the president is getting us the best possible deal for healthcare he can because, honestly, the idea that he had a 60-vote majority in the Senate is untrue. If he had a 60 or 70 senators that were in the tradition of Ted Kennedy and Bernie
Sanders. No, you're absolutely right, Josh. I mean, the Senate bill is good. The House bill is good. They're doing a test vote Saturday is the update. The bad news is Harry Reid is saying he's not going to reconciliation. So, Jim, am I counting wrong here? Even if we get the three moderate Democrats, Lieberman's going to be the
pig
in the poke and the... Whatever, douche. Yes, Chris, you have some breaking bionic news?
Yes. Uh-huh. My friend Travis says that the hair helped block the noise going to her ear because she used Ovation hair therapy.
Ah.
Type Stephanie in the box. Check out. Okay, John in Niagara Falls, Slowly I Turned. Hello, John.
Hi, Steph. You're from the Lockport area, right?
I'm from Lockport, New York, up the transit from you.
Right. Mm-hmm. You know, at Niagara County Jail there, you know, they had their own torture program going on for a while there.
Really now? I did not know that.
Yeah. Well, I was the victim.
You were?
Yes, I was. Herman Schwartz was one of the...
All right. I think for legal reasons, because I can't really verify that.
Yeah, we can't.
Hmm. I thought I was the only one tortured by Republicans in Lockport, but maybe not. Okay, I'm just saying. I was actually abandoned by wolves and raised by Republicans. If you've read the book.
You weren't tortured by them.
No. All right, let's go to Jeremy.
By the fact that they didn't pluck your eyebrows.
All right, now we've run out of time. All right, 57 minutes after the hour.
Are you having another event?
No, I'm fine now.
Okay.
Are you okay?
Good. Just shush. Fine. Having a little gastrointestinal situation. I'm fine. Listen, I've got a lot on my mind. 57 minutes after the hour,
John Fuglesang will join us from the New York Bureau.
Fortunately, is in New York. We'll be right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's The Stephanie Miller Show. I'm walking on sunshine. Whoa,
Happy Friday. 6 minutes after the hour, the Dow is down 29 points. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll-free from anywhere. Oh, as if I could feel any worse about my life. I didn't have a bionic doll. Bethany in Chicago.
You didn't? I did. Dude,
where was the bionic doll?
There was a bionic doll, and she was real big, like bigger than my Ken dolls, and her flesh would roll up, mm-hmm. and the little parts would come up.
Wow.
And I ended up with three of them when they came out because I asked too many people for them. So one substituted as a Ken doll, and like for extra parts I would miss. But I was wondering, probably the Fembot, too. You were probably.
Oh, you would harvest.
Adult.
You would
harvest. I'm trying to guess your age.
Okay, I got to go
58.
Now.
58.
All right. Shut up. I am not. She would harvest other doll parts. That's creepy.
I had a.
I am doll parts.
I had a $6 million man doll.
Oh, you, well, you're a 40-year-old virgin. Okay. This,
I beg your pardon.
This hour of the Stephanie Miller Show is brought to you
bags
by...
bags of sand.
Touch my bags please. Of sand. This hour of the Stephanie Miller Show brought to you by Saturn. The sale from Saturn is here. The best deals ever on a Saturn with a $4,000...
Ever?
With a $4,000 total cash back on every new vehicle. How about that there?
Wow.
Or qualified buyers can choose 0% financing on all models. Length of contract limited. Take delivery by November 30th. Hurry to your Saturn retailer today.
That's a good deal.
Yeah. Boy, howdy. StephanieMiller.com. Come live blog with us. You can tweet me. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice Deity Jim Ward. Or even Mrs. Taylor now. Rebecca at the StephanieMiller.com. All right. Madeline, she's getting a lot of questions. Mama going to New York next week.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be going back and forth. Everyone seems to be panicking. I'm really the only one that should be panicking since I made the disastrous decision to rent an apartment in New York without having rented my house out here. Who wants to rent a house?
Well, people are just wondering why.
It's none of your business.
All right.
All right. Madeline writes, I called your
well,
show.
Then.
I don't know. It's we're trying to seem mysterious, aren't we?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Just so I don't have to get up at...
It's stupid o'clock.
And go to bed at...
Insane o'clock.
All right. And, and I can do more things on the TV.
On the TV.
Yeah, exactly.
They generally like to have pundits on set with
yes,
the host. And so,
exactly.
Yeah.
Trying it out.
And that is promotion for the show. So it's all...
There you go.
It all ties in.
I called your show, asked why you were moving. She said it's because of more show appearance. You are a radio goofy show host just for a morning get up. Who the heck is actually taking your point of view serious? What a joke you have become. Lady, who really loves her dogs. Yes, okay.
Yeah.
What's your point?
That's, yeah.
People are getting very mad at you about this. You do realize the brains in the show are Chris and Jim.
Computer says, yeah.
Listen,
yes.
Madeline, don't try to hurt my feelings by telling me something that I say every day.
That's why you should let me live in your house for free.
Shut up. No.
It's only logical.
Yes. Guy.
Listen, you can't. I've mentioned that almost every day. Jim, I was making the point the other day that as a rule... Progressive radio hosts, the main thing, much smarter than the right-wing radio hosts, is what I'm saying. Rachel Maddow, Rhodes Scholar, Tom Hartman, he explains stuff to Stephen Hawking, Randy Rhodes, scary smart, I, dumb as a stump, but you two bring up the intelligence quotient, so, you know.
What?
We do what we can.
Exactly.
And that's exactly why you should let me live in your house.
Yes.
Shut up. Somebody wrote earlier, why don't you just let Chris live? What? No. What's in that for me?
I'll pay you the exact amount of rent I am paying at my current place.
There you go.
To live in your house.
Why?
That makes sense.
Your little shanty.
Your shanty.
Your little hovey.
Under the bridge downtown.
Little hovel.
It would fit in Stephanie's kitchen.
I know. Totally.
Chris and I, we have magically actually explained the economy better than anyone can. He said, why don't you pay me enough so I can rent your house? I'm like, are you kidding?
Can't afford that.
I can't afford that in this economy.
Of course, Jazz will destroy the whole house.
So that's
her dogs haven't already destroyed the house, eaten the baseboards.
That's all repaired now.
Wow.
Yeah, they ate the baseboards.
All right. We have magically explained how this economy we are all.
Hope your landlord in New York isn't hearing this.
Yeah, because we're on in New York right now.
Oh no.
Okay. Here's someone I always find one woman that has a little bit sadder life than I do. A mail carrier was allegedly found drunk on the kitchen floor of a 95-year-old woman's house eating leftover noodles from her refrigerator.
So far, so good.
I could totally picture you doing that.
A female postal worker, 46, eating ramen and drunk.
Well, at least she's, 15 years younger than you.
Honey, who shrunk my Hanukkah party. The White House Hanukkah party will be smaller than in years past. The White House decision in response to, see, tough economic times, all of us.
Because Joe Lieberman certainly won't be invited.
Yeah. So there's no room to invite Joe Lieberman. In a desire to keep the holiday festivities reasonable, so there will be no meat dreidels, I guess.
I have a Christmas Hanukkah dreidel. I made it out of non-pork meat. My Christmas Hanukkah dreidel. Can you feel its kosher heat? My non-pork dreidel is so yummy. I put it in my mouth.
Yep.
I can feel it in my tummy. I think it's heading south. Oh, dreidel, dreidel, dreidel. I made you out of meat. Dreidel, dreidel, dreidel. You'll soon come out my seat.
Ew.
Thank you. Goodbye. Okay, you know...
Does the meat dreidel keep spinning while it's moving through your body?
Ew.
You know, Jim, if I had a bionic ear, I could hear the doorbell in our New York bureau if I were lucky. Wait a minute. Who is it, Chris?
It's John Fugelsang.
It's Fridays with Fugelsang, everybody.
Where my mooks at? Hey!
Good morning, hizzy. Stephanie.
Good morning, John.
New York is very excited you're moving over here.
I will
but
see.
But not as excited as the children and I that you're finally coming home. I've been telling the kids, they ask me, when's Mama moving back? And I tell them, someday, someday, and now it can be told.
Mama just went to Hollywood for a little while.
A little while. She had her lost weekend.
But now they've drummed me out of Hollywood, so I'm coming back to Broadway.
That's right. Your family's been waiting for you.
Thank you,
your children
buddy.
Are so big now.
Now, John Fugelsang, you'll join me in studio for the first day, right? I'll be
I'm
November
so excited.
30th. Yes?
Yes, I will be with you, holding your hand through it. Just relax and it won't hurt.
All right, thank you.
Of course.
It's just been, it's a big, big time in entertainment. We have Caribou Barbie, as you know, out selling her book.
Ugh. I actually went to a book signing, and I waited all day online at a Sarah Palin book signing, but she quit halfway through.
She couldn't even stick that out. That's...
Have you read the book yet?
No, haven't gotten to that yet.
Oh, it's too bad. It's only 5 chapters, one for each college she went to. And she says that the McCain people bottled her up, which if they had done that, McCain might have become president.
Yeah, but, like Genie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. Now, speaking of moving to New York, obviously all the talk is about moving the terror trials to New York City. Your thoughts, sir?
I'm glad you asked, Stephanie. You know, a lot of people in New York are upset about it, too. A lot of our conservatives, although more and more Republican folks are coming out and saying it's the right thing to try these 9/11 masterminds. And they call Khalid Sheikh Mohammed the 9/11 mastermind because they don't have Osama yet.
Yeah.
He's not a mastermind. He's a consolation prize. And mm-hmm. he's as big as it's going to get because Osama is as dead as the script for Men Who Stare at Goats 2. And you know, the whole debate is you should try him in a military. It's like Pee-wee's Big Adventure with the bikers. I say we military tribunal, then we kill him. And Obama's, I say we criminal court, and then we kill him. And, you know, the main thing is that's all they want to do is execute the guy. They want to martyr him. They want to give this guy exactly what he wants. He wants to be executed.
Yeah, he asked for that, in mm-hmm. fact.
I say you take him to Rikers, get him a lifetime supply of lipstick, and throw him to the Aryans.
You're going to like the way you look. I personally guarantee it.
I say you make him live with Kate Gosselin. Not,
he won't
live forever.
Food.
It'll just seem that way. Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, that's okay. But here's what gets my goat about it, is that these Republicans are the same people who didn't want to call them prisoners of war. They want to call them unlawful enemy combatants. You know, Korea, we fought a country and called it a police action. Now we're fighting international criminals and calling it a war. And we haven't declared war since 1941. You know, if we declared war after 9/11, we would have had to bomb Saudi Arabia. And Bush wouldn't do that because you don't bomb the hand that owns you.
Yeah. That you hold. But, the hand that you hold, in fact, yes.
But they wouldn't have been able to torture, and that's why they wouldn't call them prisoners of war. Reagan signed a ban on torture for POWs, and now they want to change the word again, so it'll suit them. The Republican Party has become the party of Baruch assaults. Now, I want to call them prisoners of war, Papa. I want to call... Now, Veruca, you wanted to call them unlawful enemy combatants, my dear. No, I didn't. They're prisoners of war. I want a snozzberry. And then the Oompa Loompas wander onto the Fox set, and they all sing, Oompa Loompa Doompa Dee Da, you want to call them prisoners of war. Oompa Loompa Doompa Dee Dee, you call them combatants in 2003. What do you get when you torture a sheik? Tie him up naked like an S&M freak. Now he's in court and your cover is blown. What will you do when your crimes are made known? Blame it on the media. Say it helps the terrorists. Send Glenn Beck his talking points. Oompa loompa doompa dee da. You wouldn't be scared if you'd followed the law. You should read the Constitution too, like Holder and Obama. Doompa dee doo. And then it goes on like that for 5 hours.
Wow. So
that's the Willy Wonka terror trial paradigm.
You performed a ditty for me. I love a man that sings to me.
Thank you. I'm just trying to avoid military service.
So, by the way, this is I'm not sure what you're sadder over. John and Kate is ending or Oprah is ending?
Oh, it's devastating.
Yeah.
I'm actually kind of shocked about Oprah. I heard about Oprah just last night, and I thought, man, thanks, Palin.
You killed something else. You made someone else quit now.
I guess that's a nice thing about Oprah and Palin is we know that neither one of them will be working in 2012. I have a friend who works in the show, and I actually heard the real reason is Oprah wants to try avoiding Stedman on her free time. Are you sad about the Oprah leaving? Are you sad about the Oprah?
Well, here's the thing. I don't get how long in advance people announce they're leaving. It's sometime in 2011.
Whatever.
Yeah, I heard if her ratings got really good, they let Conan O'Brien replace her. That was the plan.
Well, they have to give affiliates, you know, enough time to find replacements and whatnot. Mm. So, yeah.
Yeah, well, now I've got to get all my New Age fad religions from Tyra.
No!
And John and Kate ending Monday, which I know is a big loss for you.
Oh, it's so sad, isn't it? How will the Republic survive? John and Kate plus hate.
Here's
now
something.
We've only got the Maury Povich book club is all I have to look forward to in daytime.
And you may have the Carrie Prejean sex video soon. She is threatening to sue Vivid Entertainment if they release the footage of her sex tape, but I will see.
Who wants to watch it outside of Sean Hannity, you know? It's great that she did a sex video with her biggest fan.
Hey, that's me. All right. 20 minutes after the hour. Obviously, a big weekend for the health care. There will be a test vote tomorrow in the Senate. We will get your thoughts, John Fugelsang's, and ours as we continue Fridays with Fugelsang on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's all about fun. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Minutes after the hour, we are knee-deep in Fridays with Fugelsang, with comedian John Fugelsang, in the New York Bureau of Stephanie Miller International and Sons and Company. And
whatever!
Okay.
Limited.
And you're going to be there soon, too?
Yes!
New York is so excited about this, Stephanie.
Oh, I'm all a titter.
You're a New Yorker. You belong in the city.
I'm from Lackport, New York.
Yeah, but that's right. That's upstate. That's not
that's
New
not
York.
That's not New York,
no.
Yeah.
They talk funny up there.
Yeah, I remember when I went to college, state. John, people at college out here said, I thought all New York girls chewed gum and said the S word. And I said, I think that's pretty much true.
That's all Long Island girls. They learn that at their confirmation.
And you are a Long Island boy, so you can say that.
I come from the Isle of Long, yes.
Long
I come
Island.
From the heart of the Guido Belt. But, oh, New York is great. The weather's great right now. It's culturally wonderful. I was at the Bob Dylan show last night up in Harlem, and I actually bumped into Christopher Hitchens in the lobby
wow.
at the
really?
Bob Dylan show.
Was he,
wow.
Well,
he was so drunk, only Dylan could understand him.
Did he? I just picture him smelling like gin and cigarettes.
Yeah, exactly.
I asked him how he liked the show. He said it was torture.
All right, Clint Eastwood says we are becoming more juvenile as a nation. What's he talking about? Whatever, Clint. Donald Trump, Jim, has said to Carrie Prejean that she should do porn.
Yeah.
That'd be
huge.
Did.
Huge.
Because that would be huge. It would. It would be huge. All right.
I'm getting huge thinking about it.
Oh. I don't know. Oh. My computer has a headache.
Oh. John, speaking of huge, what's with these? We were talking about this the other day, Chris, the Twilight films. What?
Yeah.
I don't get the vampire business,
yeah,
do you?
Yeah, you don't understand.
Oh, my God. I wish that being a pale, depressed kid was trendy when I was in different high school.
You did that for free.
I like real vampire movies, you know? And this movie's like, let the pretty one in. I mean,
yeah.
I don't think
young girls would be so hot for Nosferatu. for the Murnau version of vampires.
Well, it's like Justin Timberlake is Nosferatu. I mean, the whole thing's it's like gay porn for Dracula, you know? It's every girl deserves a really pretty dead boy who's prettier than her and will stare at her for hours.
Whatever happened to kick-ass vampires?
I mean, that's what I'm talking about. The hunger. Let the right one in. There's great vampire movies out there.
You know what?
There.
Even The Lost Boys. Kiefer Sutherland as that vampire guy. I mean, that was a kick-ass vampire.
These
vampires today are just sullen teenagers.
Yeah. You don't like mopey teens who stare at you when they're in love?
No.
What was the original vampire one that Tom Cruise and Brad Pitt were trying to decide who was a prettier boy?
The original vampire. That was the
interview with a vampire.
Interview with the
desecration of a vampire.
Yeah, that wasn't the original vampire movie, Stephanie.
I don't remember.
What is wrong with you?
Nosferatu was the original.
Well, that's Bela Lugosi next to Twilight. I mean, nothing against Twilight if you're an 11-year-old girl or a man in a trench coat, but I mean, it's like Bram Stoker writing for the WB.
Yeah.
Susie in Los Angeles. We're back in the Bionic Ditch. Hello, Susie.
Hi, good morning, you guys.
Good
How
morning.
Are you doing?
Good. Go ahead.
Okay, so when I was a little girl, all my girlfriends would be in the pool. You know how you can't really move around in the pool very fast? So we would pretend like we would run like Jamie Summers in the pool really slow and go
Because, yes, I understand underwater it would sound like that anyway. Oh, and her ear already sounded like sonar, so... No, that's the man.
I have to pull it up again.
All right.
Jamie Austin made the same sound. I had the Steve Austin doll, and I had the Sasquatch. I didn't have the Fembot, but I had a C-3PO that was almost the same thing.
There you go.
That's your ear sound.
That's your ear underwater. You're underwater sonar.
That's a bionic woman. She can now hear a Tempur-Pedic mattress infomercial.
John in L.A. wants to talk about Caribou Barbie on Oprah. Hi, John.
Oh, how you doing?
Good.
Hey, I bought the Sarah Palin book over at Calabasas, Barnes & Noble.
Uh-huh.
And what they do with conservative books over there, they put them on the discount table for 40% off.
You can already
for
get
some
it.
For reason.
I think you can already get it for a penny at Newsmax or something, can't you?
Well, if you subscribe to their website, you get it for free.
Oh, better. Even better. Okay.
I tried reading it, but then I got bored and I moved on to other opportunities.
All right. Senator Harry Reid yesterday, the test vote will be tomorrow.
This reform plan deals with health care. It saves lives, it saves money, and it saves Medicare.
Then he went on to talk about if he has to do it with just Democrats. Which...
We're going to do a bill. We hope that we don't have to do it with Democrats. But if we have to, we will.
Well.
Who's he kidding?
You have to do it with Democrats. You just hope you're not doing it with just Democrats.
Who's he kidding? He's going to get one Republican vote, for God's sakes. And now, John Fugel's saying this abortion thing. Joe Lieberman and the abortion thing could blow this whole thing up.
Yeah, it's really true. You know, I started off the week thinking, okay, my president went to China, and all I got was this lousy, watered-down, opt-outable, forcing us to buy private insurance anyway, public option.
All right, we'll be back with the rest of your thoughts on that as we continue 28 minutes after the hour, the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It finally happened. You've gone completely Fruit Loops.
That's because it's the Friday show, 33 minutes after the hour. In fact, it's Fridays with John Fugel saying.
Hello, Steffers.
Joins us from the New York Bureau of Stephanie Miller International. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. John, there is a breaking Sarah Palin news this morning. She's everywhere, as you know, but thank God she's finally, apparently, telling the truth. Travis sends us this new audio that's just been on her.
I don't know why you stepped down. Why not just finish what you started?
Well, I left because I just couldn't handle the governor's death. I resigned as the governor of Alaska because I'm a quitter. I was not qualified, that I was ill-prepared. I was naive. I was lame. I never really went to hockey games, too. And I love unprotected sex. We've always had, I guess, unconventional relationships. Physically, Todd will plow through me for hours, and I'm pumped up, just over the top, pumped up with energy and porn. Yes. So after all that, wow. Thank you so much.
Oh,
wow.
Thank
great.
You, Sarah. Thank you for finally telling the truth. Woo!
Oh, now that's brilliant.
Now she can be president. At least she's told the truth.
Fox lied again, showing footage of a presidential campaign rally and saying
yes.
it was her book party.
And we would never doctor footage here, John Fiegel saying.
Oh, I know. I'm glad about that. But I want Fox to just go all the way and use Lenny Riefenstahl crowd footage for her next series.
That'd be perfect.
Did you see her on Hannity? It looked like he was like Fred Flintstone in a female domination S&M club with her.
Yes.
Yes, mistress. Yabba dabba do. Whatever you say. she said she did the Baldwin test. She said her favorite Baldwin actor brother was Stephen. Okay, that's the Baldwin test. If you like Stephen Baldwin and he's the best actor, let Fox News pick out your clothes for you in the morning. You know, because you've already crossed over.
Yeah, that's right. Now, John, I'm sorry. Before the break, I so rudely interrupted you. We were talking about health care reform and how two things: Lieberman and abortion could yet implode. The whole schmigeggy. Your thoughts?
That's right. Well, I got to tell you, folks, regardless of what you believe, you cannot have a government health plan that pays for abortion, okay? If you want access to abortion, you can only get it if you work for the Republican National Committee.
Right.
You understand me?
Yes.
You got to go work for Michael Steele. You can have all the abortions you want.
That's
Michael Steele makes me embarrassed to be a self-loathing hypocrite. Do you know that? They'd rather kill this bill and have 44,000 uninsured people die a year because they're so moral, you know?
Yep.
If they get to say no taxpayer dollars for abortion because all life is sacred, then can we say no taxpayer dollars for capital punishment for the same reason?
Yeah.
Maybe?
Yep, absolutely. You know, John, both your parents clergy. You speak the religious ease. Could you take your organ out for me, please, Chris?
Mm-hmm. And my parents are fans of your show. They're listening right now to that organ.
God. Hooray! Oh, my God. Hello, Mr. and Mrs. Fugelsang.
Hello. this is my favorite church ever is the Mel Gibson, where he has his own church, which delisted.com refers to as the Church of Sugar. Hang on.
Yes.
Sugar bits.
Sugar.
Yeah.
Delisted.com today writes, the Church of Sugar is invitation only. At Mel Gibson's Holy Family Chapel in Agoura Hills, California, he is God, Jesus, all the saints rolled into one. What Mel says goes. That means Mel gets to pick and choose who sits next to his drunk ass in the pews. Radar Online reports that Mel is making all new parishioners fill out an application and go through a security check before he offers you an invitation to join his church. You know, I kind of understand why Mel is pulling this hurry. His church is probably a nonstop party. The holy water is spiked with top shelf vodka. The communion wafers have been soaked in rum, and Jesus' blood comes in your choice of white, red, or sparkling wine. And the seventh commandment, thou shalt not commit adultery, has been replaced with thou shalt party with your peen out. Thank you, D-Listed.
It's a lot more fun than that Scientology mixer we went to, Mildred.
I see. You know, I have to hear. There's got to be somebody listening that actually goes to Mel Gibson's church. Why would you want belong to the church?
Because they're not allowed to have radios. They're
church
in the Amish
of Mel
community.
Gibson. Yeah, I don't know. I don't understand.
By the way, we have a little bit of breaking news.
Oh, yes.
The Senate Ethics Committee has just cleared Roland Burris of any wrongdoing.
Oh, my goodness.
Thank God.
Woo.
Well, yeah.
I can sleep easy now.
I guess he promised them a yes vote on the bill. That's what it's all about. We need 60 votes to start the debate on health care. I'm like, we haven't begun the debate yet?
Oh, God, yeah.
That's like saying, I can't wait for them to start promoting Twilight the movie, you know?
Yeah. Like, yeah, exactly. Yeah. President Truman would be startled to hear that and spinning while he's in his grave. Republican senators and governors, of course, assailed the new health care legislation. Despite criticism, there were indications the Democrats would prevail on an initial Senate showdown set for it's tomorrow night, right, Chris? Saturday night.
Yes.
In the Capitol, Reid answered Republican delaying tactics with the initial test vote. I don't really know this process, Chris. What's the deal with a test vote? I don't even know what the reason is for that.
They're
exactly.
seeing if they have 60.
Yeah, because there's three that have been cagey that you might want to give a ring ding to.
Yeah, including Mary Landrieu, Blanche Lincoln.
Blanche Lincoln.
Yeah, but you know what? They have kind of indicated that they would vote for this procedural vote.
I think Daddy...
In order to bring it to the floor.
Yes, okay. I think Daddy Reid gave Mary Landrieu a little sugar.
Yeah.
She's got $100 million to help her state cover health care costs for the poor.
Yeah, and also Lieberman has given an indication that he may vote for this to get it to the floor.
Only if I'm invited to the Hanukkah party. We'll see.
They're all holding out. All these Democrats want something, and that's why they're being so public about it. Tom Harkin went on MS yesterday and said that Lieberman will vote for the bill.
Oy vey.
Yeah.
I mean, Tom Coburn, the right-wing tool from Oklahoma, he backed off his threat to force the entire bill to be read aloud, which would have eaten into the Thanksgiving week vacation.
Right.
I wish he would have done that, because I would have pissed people off just enough to vote for it. It's like, bastard.
Mm-hmm.
And he was not even the nerve to do it himself. He was going to have a house clerk have to read the whole thing.
He was going
to
be a A puss.
Typical yes. Republican.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Well, I mean, you know, Tom Coburn's so owned by insurance companies, he's got to submit a claim before he gets out of bed in the morning. do you love, the best thing about this is seeing Al Franken standing behind Harry Reid at all these press conferences. Isn't it great?
I know.
It's like the final goodbye shot from SNL, you know, only it's all old white guys, but still, see Al just hanging out.
I know. I just I watched that yesterday, John, and I'm thinking somewhere Bill O'Reilly's head just exploded. Because, you know, they watch the footage every day like anybody, any other talk show host on the air.
He's got a lot of loofahs to mop it up when it explodes. At least.
I am proud to stand before you as the next senator from Minnesota.
Thing sucks.
Mrs. O'Reilly sweeping up bill parts from around the living room.
I tell my Republican friends, don't you want to be proud of where your taxes go to keep your fellow man alive? Some kids are going to get to keep their dad because he could afford treatment thanks to we the people, you know?
Yep.
Don't you Christians want a government based on the values of Christ?
Yep. I seriously. So he also said, though, he's not going to go to reconciliation, which that makes me wonder, John, like, does he, like you said, Chris, does he have the votes?
Yeah.
I mean, we just don't know it yet.
That's what they're seeing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he said no reconciliation. They have the votes. They've bought and paid for everybody. They can't read this thing aloud because you'll see where all the bribes are in the fine print.
So Orrin Hatch, this is Jim. Don't you love that they keep moving the marker? Orrin Hatch says you should have to get 70 or 80 votes now. What? Huh?
Oh, someone said 85. Yeah.
Uh huh. He said if you can't get 70 or 80 votes,
a million votes.
It's a lousy bill. What? Huh?
Don't you love homophobes who still want it both ways? It's terrific.
He said, I hope the American people rebel. He has called this a holy war. It is really...
And no illegal immigrant coverage. That's the one thing. Only you've got to be real Americans, the people who are here first, you know?
Mm.
They're like my favorite Bible story, the xenophobic Samaritan.
all right. Oh, here's one thing. Speaking of Orrin Hatch... guess what they're restoring in the bill? The abstinence-only education funding.
Yeah.
Something that has been proven to not only not work, but essentially make kids hornier. They have, President Obama's budget had eliminated funding for abstinence-only education. School districts, of course, increasingly moving away from such programs because they've proven to be ineffective at reducing teen pregnancy. However, Newsweek reports that the recently released Senate health care bill restores some funding for abstinence-only programs inserted by Senator Orrin Hatch. Which seems to be a slight concession to the Senate's social conservatives. Senator Chris Dodd yesterday on the health care bill.
In this proposal, we will improve the quality of life of every single American for literally decades and decades to come.
Commie.
Senator Dick Durbin bringing the snark yesterday. Senator
Dick
Durbin.
When it comes to the size of legislation, it was that bank bailout bill that the last president proposed that was only 3 pages long. Now, there's a work of wisdom.
Yeah, I like some Dick Durbin.
42 minutes after the hour, back with more on healthcare reform on Fridays with Fugelsang on the Stephanie Miller Show.
In fact, there's a distinct possibility that by the end of the day, we'll all be going to hell.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Bum, 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 bum. 47 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll free. Hey, everybody, back into the bionic ditch. Justin in Los Angeles, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Justin.
Hey, Steph, how you guys doing?
Good, go ahead.
We all love the Family Guy, and you know Peter has those hallucinations where he's becoming things. Well, he's becoming the bionic man. He's like on the operating table, and they go through the whole thing. They're going to build him stronger and better and this and that. In the next clip, he's like wearing a monocle with like a rake for an arm and toothpick. And like 10 metal trash cans on his legs, and he's stumbling around. It's absolutely hysterical if you could find the clip.
We love us. I have no idea how we got off John Fugelsang out of the bionic stuff this morning. Oh, I think it's the right wing saying that the terrorists have superpowers, which will allow them to evade the American justice system and jump over a building in New York and escape or something.
I know, and this all comes from our inability to use the real language. You know, we can't call ourselves an empire. We're the last remaining superpower. We don't say civilian deaths. We say collateral damage. And we didn't want to say prisoners of war, so we said unlawful enemy combatants. And that's coming back to haunt them now.
Yep. Chris, this is for you. Could I have some Hollywood gossip kind of music?
Okay.
You have some holy hatred of Rachel Ray. I don't really know why.
I turned on her. One day I was watching her show, and I turned on her. I really hated her.
Good for you, Chris. Good. Well, that woman's done more for obesity than corn syrup.
Then you are officially on Team Martha, because Martha Stewart and Rachel Ray are having a cat fight.
Oh, I read about this. This is awesome.
Yummo.
Donuts and doilies.
Is this delisted? This is one of the most hilarious posts I've read lately. It's headline, Bitch Can't Do It Like Martha. Martha Stewart is caviar and champagne, while Rachel Ray is a plastic cup of lukewarm Faygo and a plate of saltines with melted craft single on top. That's basically what Martha Stewart said about Rachel in a new interview with Nightline. Martha being a is always a good thing.
A C word.
Yes.
Yes.
She said, among other things, Martha did, Rachel is different. She's more of an entertainer with her bubbly personality than she is a teacher like me. Translation, Rachel Ray is a piece of trash used by a hobo to wipe his ass after a disastrous bowel movement. When asked what she thought about Martha's remarks, Rachel said, why would it make me mad? Her skill set is far beyond mine. That's simply the reality of it. Rachel may have a voice like a trucker who eats children, but even she knows not to with Martha. Martha's been in prison. Bitch is a gangster. Not only can she whip up a 5-course meal on a radiator, but bitch can also make a shank out of a tampon applicator. True that.
Uh-huh.
It's like Levi versus Sarah. I don't know who to root against.
Yeah, that's a tough one. All right, Senator John Thune, Republican of South Dakota.
They have tried to figure out a way to wrench it into a budget window that somehow makes it look like it costs less, but at the end of the day, it actually costs more.
Mm. Yeah, that socialistical congressional budget office, they did it again, John.
I know. It's only going to save $127 billion.
Yeah, exactly. Senator Lamar Alexander trying a little right-wing humor.
It's the same turkey you didn't like in August, and it's not going to taste any better on Thanksgiving.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen,
You know, let's not forget, these are the people who were wrong about everything. Keep reminding your Republican friends. They were wrong. Bush lost more jobs than Shannon Doherty, okay? They were wrong about everything.
Yeah.
Exactly. All right, we were mentioning Joe Lieberman. So, Chris, what are you hearing? He's just a little whiner that wants attention, and he's not.
I've heard that he may actually vote to get this thing to the floor.
Yeah, he...
Which would surprise the hell out of me, because he hasn't been indicating that all along.
Asked this week if he might run again as a Democrat, he smiled and said, yes, sure. In a new Quinnipiac poll, Connecticut voters by a 2-1 margin says his views on the issue put him closer to Republicans than to Democrats. Just 12% say he should run as a Democrat, as it turns out. He had some thoughts, by the way, on the Fort Hood tragedy, by the way.
We do no favor to all of our fellow Americans who are Muslim by ignoring real evidence that a small number of their community have in fact become violent Islamists and extremists.
And a big majority of people in the Air Force are violent Christianists and extremists.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think we should put all these medieval morons in a big room with shivs and let them, you know, eviscerate each other.
Yeah.
And let them prove it.
No, not all of them. Let's point out, though, there's plenty of progressive people. I'm on the side of any Christians, Jews, or Muslims trying to solve the world's problems nonviolently.
Absolutely.
But it's the conservative Christians, the conservative Muslims, and the conservative Jews that are going to make life interesting for the rest of us for many years to come.
Yeah, I've already bought my rapture helmet.
Refight the Crusades.
Speaking of which, the new, what's his name, Republican Virginia. The governor-elect, Bob McDonnell.
Yeah.
Yes.
So he's refused to disavow Pat Robertson's comments. You remember after the Fort Hood tragedy, Evil Uncle Chuckles said Islam is not a religion?
It's not a religion. It's a recipe for disaster. It's a list of ingredients for the Lord's base of doom.
He said it's a violent political system bent on the overthrow of the governments of the world and world domination. So yesterday, a reporter asked Bob McDonnell, who took thousands of dollars from Pat Robertson, has been on the 700 Club frequently, if he thought the comments were appropriate, and McDonald refused to condemn Robertson, specifically, citing the First Amendment.
So Robertson's anti-government because he's anti-Muslim because they're pro-violence and against the government? That's his
the
base.
Teabaggers. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. All right. By the way, an edition of What the Box on Healthcare? John, this will shock you, but Steve Ducey of the Cluster Fox on the what is that? The Fox and Freaks in the Morning?
Yes.
Yeah, it's called the Deucey Blonde Douchey.
Yes.
Yeah, Brian Kilmeade is a
not the mathematician that you probably thought he was. Hmm.
Really? Uh-huh. Shocking.
According to preliminary analysis, as we all know from the CBO, the joint legislation will cost $848 billion over 10 years and reduce the deficit by $130 billion over 10 years. Steve Ducey added the gross total cost of the coverage provisions to the amount by which the bill would reduce the federal budget deficit to argue that the bill would cost taxpayers close to $1 trillion. He's double counting the cost of the bill to taxpayers. Thank you, Rain Man. Thank you.
That's, yeah. I'm sure Fox will have run a correction for that at Red Eye at 2 a.m.
They're running the wrong footage. They're running footage of a moron instead.
You know he's not in trouble until Fox puts a D after his name.
Yeah.
Get in line.
This is not going to go over well here in Hollywood, John. The Senate bill includes the Botox tax, they're calling it.
The Botox, you see.
Hey!
The Botox.
Nancy Pelosi was shocked. Oh, wait, she wasn't.
Oh, no, stop it.
Bugle Sang went for the Nancy Pelosi
Come
joke.
On.
Oh, yes, I will. So, you want her to lead the unions? Come on. You can't be the face of a movement. What? When your face has no movement.
All right. Yeah. The bill levies a 5% tax on elective cosmetic surgery. The provision raises the $5 billion and was needed to make the numbers work, according to a Democratic Senate aide. Yeah, Nancy Pelosi probably called. Harry, what have you done?
Yes. Then they're all shocked. The cast of Desperate Housewives is shocked.
Oh, boy. George in Chicago, briefly off the bionic subject to get on to Wonder Woman. Hello, George.
Well, this shows how one pile of trivia leads to another. The other 70s superhero woman, Linda Carter as Wonder Woman, had a little sister. Mm-hmm. I was reminded of this when you brought up Sandra Bullock as the bionic girl in the 80s remake.
Yep. Yes.
Deborah Winger played the nubile young little sister of Wonder Woman. And a postscript was about 10 years or so ago, Deborah Winger was a guest on the David Letterman show. And when she came out to the set, she was wearing this really odd, frumpy outfit. And she sat in the chair and chatted with Dave for a few minutes. And then somebody started screaming that some horrible disaster was going on outside. She leaped up, ripped off the frumpy outfit, had her Wonder Girl outfit on, sprinted up the aisle through the audience, out the front doors of the theater, and down the street to save the world.
All right. Let's go to...
Her agent could do the same thing.
Yeah. Kim in San Francisco, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Kim.
Hey, you know, Steph, I think it's interesting that we are now just finding out what kind of friend you really are living us in California when we are going right down the drain.
Oh, yeah. I'm kicking you when you're down.
And, you know,
we're broke now here. I gotta...
Wait, you're so disgustingly happy. And, Chris, I want to ask you something. During the inauguration, didn't she make you stand in the rain or something like that?
No, she made me stand in below zero weather for about 3 hours to get her tickets to go into the inauguration.
Let him stay in the compound.
Yeah, let me stay in the compound, woman.
Kim, I want you to remain calm. Mama, I own a house in California. I'm going back and forth. Mama is not abandoning you.
I hate your ass face.
She's going Orly Tate on you.
And I hate your ass face.
She's making people very hysterical. Mama's
Oh, we're happy in New York. We're dancing in the streets, sugar.
Oh, people are getting very clingy. Mm.
Your house is going to sit completely empty, just waiting for people to attack it. I think you need a house sitter.
Your house will be full of raccoons.
Yes, we'll come to the you need a house sitter.
The bears will take over.
Sitting on the couch, drinking highballs.
I'll be going back and forth.
Chris stay there and saddle the dogs.
Yes.
Don't be frightened by the Stephanie Miller Show going by. It's all going to be fine.
Say what?
I didn't get belong to the city.
All right. Thank you, John Fugelsang.
Thank you, Sugar.
That's
I'll see you next week in New York.
That's right.
Please call me Sugar. All right. That's it for us. I'd like to thank Chris LeBoy, Jim Ward, and Rebecca Taylor. We'll see you Monday on the Stephanie Miller Show.